family generation. I had a great-great-grandfather.
Want to kind
he
of continue
a farmer
on
up in north
want
part
to thank
of,
your pastor,
of Florida
and for having us
had,
in.
He
thank
had come
him
to a
for,
community where there was no
the
Baptist
he has,
church. There was
and
a
for being a blessing to us
community
while we're
church
here,
there.
And even
and
before
the
that,
Episcopalians, the Methodists, the Presbyterians all
men
met in the same
look up
building.
To their ministries as
every
time
nowadays
just getting scared.
Men
that labor
wanted to set
in
up
the
a
word
church
and in doctrine,
for
men that
just
are
his
concerned
to
about
meet
things
just
that
for Baptist people.
Most
he wasn't,
of society,
he
most of Christian
but he was
society,
a farmer. He loved the
just
Lord.
Really forgotten.
He wanted to have a regular
that
place.
Instead,
for
you know what? A lot of Christians want
around
nowadays
God's
is they want something entertaining.
And so he donated
about
a couple acres of his land.
You want hopefully
to a church
to
get started there in Pensacola,
not to be
and invited a preacher to come
down
from Alabama and start preaching
in church to meet buddies.
And they got the church established.
That went on for years.
And so I do appreciate that.
A pretty prominent church there
getting,
in Pensacola.
It's getting more and more rare.
And you go forward
as
a couple
we
generations,
travel around the country.
I'm a young boy.
I'm starting to see
that inside that church building.
Churches are
and
trying
I'm
to do
the preacher preaching on hell.
Programs.
It does. It
trying to set up things to entice people to come to church.
I knew I was a sinner.
Trying to set up things
that go to hell.
Make people want
to
come
out
rather than the preaching and teaching of the Word of God.
I didn't want
to
go to
hell. And that's a sad day.
She opened her Bible to Acts 16, verse
31. But that's what's going on today in America. So I got saved to the young boy,
but I'm
telling
you
that story
because
my great-great-grandfather donated the land, and years and years later, I got saved on that very same land that he had really laid up to the Lord as a sacrifice.
You should understand.
He had no idea what the returns were going to be.
And
Old
I got saved
passage.
As a result
he's talking
of that.
To the children of
and
Israel.
So that's a blessing.
And
when
he's
I talk
given
about
them some
work when I talk about
he's given them
wanting to be
some
a
things, trying to get them to focus, trying
a lot
to get
times,
them to wake up
we like to
about some things
the
that God's done
results.
For them.
And
like
God
should
really
happened.
Have
this
to do something
did.
That he does here in this
but
passage.
You guys know, and hopefully
but
you
find him having to do it over and over again with the children of Israel. And
a lot
you
of
find
times
us,
you don't see
you know,
the results
I know my tendency
you heard it
many times
morning.
Is to look at the children
the
of Israel and just
morning,
really kind of
the
be like, are you guys,
you may not see any results
I mean,
till
the
Lord
comes messing
back.
Up again?
And so that's
this,
a good
this
example
is like,
of that.
You know,
your grandchildren,
here,
your
great-grandchildren
may benefit from some spiritual sacrifice you've been to you.
And I look at that as part of my
time here on
to
this
see
earth
so many
to
good things
missions.
God's done for them.
And
I've been
so blessed. I'll talk about this more.
And about that time, I start to consider that, and I start to look at that.
And God's getting on to
and
Israel.
I think I'd like
realizing
to try to
God's
spoil some other
Israel
people
in this passage.
Give them opportunity what I
He's
had. I was given the gospel at a young age.
He's getting on to me and saying,
I was given the right Bible at a young age. I was given the right doctrine at a young age.
Haven't I dealt with you very well? Haven't I dealt very gently with you?
Especially outside of this
country. And you know what? I stop and consider that.
We are,
think, you know what,
we are
God,
the
you
Huggins
have been very good
to missionaries
me.
Heading to Brazil.
There is no reason for me to stray.
And when
there
I talk
is
about
no
Brazil,
for me to get
it's
outside
a country
of your will.
It was discovered
You've
here.
Given me everything
brief
I
brief history.
But you know as well
Portuguese
as I do, like the old song we sing, prone to
they
wander.
They were solid Roman
Lord,
Catholics.
I feel it. Prone
so
to
leave across
the
God
with
I love.
You know what we're prone to do? You know what we're good at doing?
And what they did is they initiated the country. They
set us up
in
a good place
and
then
fallen
back from that.
Well, that lasted for a while
God
until Brazil got some independence.
He gives you everything you need.
They broke
and
free from Portugal eventually down the line. And but during that time,
they
were still
to show you some things about
Catholic.
The Lord
they
and show you some things here in this
came.
Passage.
You can see in this picture
about some
they
things
started
the Lord has done for
their,
us.
They're called the sacrifice of the Mass.
Where
and
they believe
they
hold
passage,
up a wafer,
look down
a
in
cookie,
verse 1,
and say, this is the body and
Isaiah
blood
chapter
of Christ,
5
and
eat verse it.
1, he says,
in hope that they get eternal life.
Now
and
will
hope
I
that
sing
to
my well-beloved a
well,
song
the
of my beloved
really
touching his vineyard.
So much, so they had to
my well-beloved hath a vineyard
and
a very fruitful
with Catholicism.
Hill.
You'll see what happens
and he fenced
that
it and gathered out the
but
stones
that's Brazil.
Thereof and planted it with the choicest vines.
It didn't start with the Pilgrim Fathers thanking God for a good provision.
And also made a winepress therein, and he looked that
it
should bring forth
sacrifices of a pagan religion.
Brought forth
under
the
label
wild
of Christianity.
Grapes. And now
and so
the inhabitants of Jerusalem
about.
And men
now,
of Judah,
when they broke free
judge,
from,
I pray you,
Portugal, they set up their own country
vineyard.
In 1889.
What
they wanted
been,
to be like a country.
What could have been
and
done more to my vineyard
that burning the flag
that
now
I have
and they're
not done in
you know, pledging allegiance to it now, but
when I
look
that it should bring forth
grapes, brought it forth
wild
wrong
grapes.
Colors. But
now,
at least they were
that
trying
passage
to
right there
kind of
gives you a
they were trying to set up a country
summation
like
about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done.
They're trying to get
for
a republic going
when you consider
in place.
Everything. And
when you stop and think about what the Lord really has done for us in our lives,
fell apart.
All those good things,
well,
the Lord comes down and he checks
Brazil
out.
Has this. Great
I consider this
they
the
have
Lord's
great rivers, they have strong men,
and
they
what
have
he does,
more
he looks down after all this
had.
Provision and all this
why
thing he's done,
thrive like
and
we
he
did.
Looks at it and says, why isn't it bringing forth?
I've already showed you their history.
What I planned for it
they started with the Roman Catholic Church.
What more could I have done for it?
And with
religion. And that's what we'd like to get into, but before we get into that,
very
let's go ahead and open
difference.
Up here in prayer.
And so that's why they fell apart. Religion
Lord,
will
I thank
get you
for
nowhere.
This day. Thank you for
so
the opportunity
why we're going
to be
to
here with your people.
To show them
Lord, we need
everything in life,
your cleansing.
Nothing
we need
about
your
life
washing,
is good
Lord,
is found in religion.
To make us even acceptable in your sight, Lord.
And that's what we're there
all
to
our
show
righteousness
them.
Is as filthy
to modern day
Lord,
Brazil,
we're not
this is what it looks like. This is an airplane flight over São Paulo, one of their largest cities, 20 million people.
There would be something that takes place here tonight.
There's over 200 million people in Brazil.
Something that you would want to come down here and meet with us about.
It's the fifth largest country in the world.
Lord, I pray that hearts would turn to you.
From a third world country.
That the ones that are
so that, you get the
considerate of you and love you, I pray that they would grow
you know,
in their love
God
towards
you. Guys weren't stuck in that
and Lord,
today.
We pray that you just be with
that's
us
what
now.
They have
and Lord,
as they
if there's
advance.
Any way,
they
that
advance
send your son
socially,
to come back and get us and take us home
economically,
to be with you.
But they do not
We'd
advance
love for,
spiritually.
To be with you.
And so what you have is a lot of these Brazilians are moving in towards the cities.
Amen.
Trying to get in and get established.
All right,
and get
so the first thing I just want to mention here in this passage,
that ends up causing a lot of crime, a lot of violence.
Providing
a lot of the sin that you see
in the
bigger cities.
The providing
so
in the
Brazil
vineyard.
Does
right
have
there,
a
you notice
high
in that passage,
rate. They have
it says
over 700,000
that he prepared that
in
a very fruitful hill.
It is a violent
he prepared
country
that
as far
in a very
as
fruitful hill.
Now, it only follows
I don't know what
China
other
America,
hill you know
as far
of
as
that's
their
very
rate.
Fruitful. The most fruitful
so
hill I know of
there
is a hill called Calvary.
And Lord willing,
that's the most fruitful hill. And you stop and consider that. I
talk
about
your life.
This is
think about your life.
What was your life before you met
Jesus country
Christ.
In South America except for
what did your
Chile.
Life consist
it
of? What
of
would your life be today
when you look
if
at the
it wasn't for Jesus
Brazil,
Christ?
This part here
if you were to really be honest with yourself,
Amazon.
It'd be
a mess. And that's not,
you'd,
you know,
be wasted.
Going
you'd
home
probably some of you guys wouldn't be here alive.
In the mail. This is
probably some of you would be laying up
river,
in a hospital
Amazon
bed
rainforest.
Somewhere, maybe
a
on an overdose or something like that. Maybe with your back broke,
maybe some foolishness went on.
We
that's
are
looking
to
be down
Christ.
In this area where the populace is
settled.
Now,
when you talk about
settled,
a fruitful hill, I can't think of a more fruitful hill than
20 million
that.
People right there.
Then the hill
there's
called Calvary.
There's about 14 million people right
how
there.
Much that saved me from, how much
Pulso
that spared me from the grief of this life
missionary
is just knowing Jesus Christ loved
culture.
Me enough to die for me.
And so when I talk about
now,
Brazil,
this is
your
that's the providing of the vineyard.
This is what you normally
you know what? Jesus Christ provided that long before we knew about it. Jesus Christ provided his sacrifice there at Calvary long before. Before we had any awareness of it.
What happens is
and you know
the,
that was a dirty
people
work.
Move into the
you
big
think
cities.
About that.
They
think
grab
about Jesus Christ having to bear all our sins
to try to
on
build
the cross
a
in his own body.
And then try to get a job.
That's a dirty work.
But the, what ends
my dad
up happening
to like
is the kids
and gardening and things
that.
Like that. And he would
they
do
don't
some
find
stuff.
A job,
he'd
so they end up turning into
make
violence.
This concoction.
He'd
call it manure tea.
And a lot of the kids
obviously get the idea it's not something
a lot of them end up being forced from their home.
The dinner table.
And what happens is a lot of the kids just live on the street.
But this manure tea, he'd let it sit there as a concoction
estimate of
and it'd sit there and it'd get all he'd grab like a shovel full of it and dump it in a 5 gallon bucket.
I wasn't raised
and
like
that stuff would just ferment
slept
for about three or four months
it was for fun,
out there
for
in the
camping.
Sun down in that
it
Florida
wasn't
heat
by, force.
And then we go crack
the
lid off of that thing
and so the Lord's been good to
and
me
would,
and I'd like to
reek
pass
it smell up a whole garden it'd be smelling all the neighbor's house everything
and then just
that stuff was awful but you know what it did
but
what
I talk about
that manure tea got out
they go around they
and
try to do whatever they can to try to
really
make a living.
Really help those plants to
and
grow
and when
thrive.
I get this, I usually tell
and
you guys,
you know
this
what,
is
it was
the
a
worst kind of
work.
Beggar
you know,
you can
we were getting out there. My dad would have us out there shoveling
somebody
that stuff
that'll go
and,
to a church,
diluting it
and
stuff
do
like
all
that,
the things that the church tells them to do.
And you'd bend down there with a shovel and you'd get that shovel out there.
Pray with the rosary.
And you start shoveling
our fathers, all the things that they're
told to do. And you'd grab a little shovel full
of
that and try to flop it on there. You know what
happens
when you got a bucket of water and a shovel.
They go home just as lost as they can.
Sloshing all over the place.
That's the worst
kind of
beggar
your clothes is getting
when
all
when
over
a beggar
your hands
comes
and,
to Jesus Christ
yeah, you,
you
try
know
to wash that stuff
life.
Off for hours you know
gives
and you go inside
life.
And try to eat a sandwich
that doesn't happen in a
like
religion
manure tea sandwich.
And so our
it's
job
nasty.
Would be there to turn
you know,
these
dirty
people
work.
Away from their dark religion
but you know that's what
and
Jesus
turn them to
Christ,
Christ
had to do
So when I talk about our religious makeup, about 65%
of Brazilians now
are Roman Catholic.
He had to get
the largest Roman Catholic country in the world by population.
With his stripes, we were healed.
But even with that, through the last several decades, since 1970s, their numbers have declined drastically in Brazil because
is Jesus
the state
Christ
religion
what
in
he
Brazil
did on Calvary. So I'm talking about
the providing,
the
provision
of this
able to be a missionary.
He provided very well. Now, what about this country?
In the 1970s. That
you
want to
think about the country
so
that God provided for you. Where could you have
Roman
been born
Catholic to now
on this
65%.
You guys, any one of you here could have been born in Saudi Arabia.
While
Rome
is losing the grip.
How would your life have been different if, say, you were born in Iran?
But the sad fact is we're losing our pace.
How
the
Protestants life
are rising. They're up to 22%.
Would you be sitting in a church
building
with your soul saved and heading to
Pentecostal?
Or do you think
the agnostics
be some Muslim
and the
atheists
under this non-religious category, they're
bowing down towards Mecca
because Brazil's getting more educated.
What do you think
would
be happening with you?
And so that's what's taking place.
Spiritism, the gospel is
that's
free
something that's
and open
found
to
in the
you
headquarters there in Brazil.
That's what took
they
place.
They believe in basically
and
doing
so
good.
That's what we're
and
talking about, the provision
life,
of this vineyard, the provision. You've been given a great country,
a better person.
This lady, her name was Irina.
And so that headquarters of that is in Brazil.
She was one of those ladies. She was born in the Soviet Union and Russia during the communist days.
All your pagan
and
religions,
she ended up
Buddhism,
getting saved by reading the old Slavic
Gumba,
Bible.
All the other
and she got a hold of Bible in
like
one of those libraries
Brazil
there in Russia and started reading that thing, and she ended up getting saved and started
so
going
the
there to a Russian
it,
Orthodox
look,
church.
It says in this passage,
and those, the KJV
no
sent some men out there to
soul
spy on them.
And you know what? That's
and those men spied on
them.
They found out she
they
was the real, you know, the real deal,
their
a real Christian. And
do not care.
You know, they found out
their
what she was doing, and they ended up imprisoning her
off of them
for her belief
not
in Christ
for their soul.
And they threw
Jesus
her
Christ
in jail, and they threw
soul
her in jail, and
he cared nothing.
She was in one of those Russian prisons
though
in Siberia.
For our sake, became
and
poor.
They wouldn't give her any clothes hardly at all to sleep with. She ended up getting just a thin linen gown.
When I talk about
Roman
Catholics, I know
sometimes almost freezing at night
so much. But
and she'd sit there and have
Brazil
to shiver.
They
those communists
they
told her, they said, well, all you have to do is renounce
these
Christ.
These are wax
we'll
body parts,
free.
Wax
all you have to do
bones,
is turn down Christ and we'll
hearts
let you go.
And
Irina
heads,
never did.
Wax legs down there.
In fact, so much to
and
where one day when she was
in the Catholic church,
in the jail there, she woke up and her
part of the
tooth
body
would just
then
pound
you come
into
the Catholic
head
cathedral.
She had a
swollen
cheek and she had an
Brazil
abscess tooth.
You purchased
and
these
she's
wax body
parts. Calling out to the guard and begging him to send her to
the
dentist, and they say,
over these body parts, and we'll gladly help you out.
And then if
you
don't
have enough guess what?
Sure enough, they brought her out there to the dentist and you know,
that's
they set her
about
down in the chair and they
and
strap her in
chance,
and everything like
happens
that.
And you start
and those,
feeling
those
better.
Communist,
you're supposed to come back and
those
give
communist
an
folks ended up
what
extracting
they call
that tooth
without
so any
an offering a miracle,
drilling on
the offering
and yanking on it and
so
pulling on it while
they're
it's
not
abscess
in it for their soul at all.
Just because
they're
she was
for their
Christian
money. And no
just
man
because she
for
did
their soul.
What you do
right
that's
now
the religion they have.
Nothing else.
And so we're there to,
so you
to show
say, well,
them
thank
that
God
Jesus
you're
Christ
born in this
does
country
care.
You say, when was that? Back
now,
in the
when we talk
dark
about
ages,
that, this passage really
no, that was 1980s.
Brings out what Christ is concerned
President
with
Reagan
Brazil
heard about her situation.
You know the passage
and
is
went over
and
negotiated
you
with Gorbachev.
When he saw the
her
multitude,
release,
he was moved.
And she ended up going back to London.
Rage,
she ended up going
his,
back to England
his
with
look
her
of
husband
her sin.
He was moved with
you know what she said?
Because they were scattered.
She said, you know what, being a Christian,
sheep, having no shepherd,
in Soviet communist Russia is not a very pragmatic thing to do.
But the labors are few.
You know what,
think about that.
What
does
it cost
to send forth labors into his harvest?
What
that's what we ask you guys to do is pray
maybe
for
maybe a little bit of shame
to get over there and be
family,
able to labor in that
maybe
harvest
from some coworkers.
It's a place
or something
of
like
need
that
there in Brazil.
You haven't been in thrown
and
in prison
we
yet
ask for the Lord's compassion.
Thank God,
like
you've been
he
born
had
in this country
on these Brazilian
God's
people
provided for you very well.
This missionary
and so when
here,
I think about that, that's a
Domingos
blessing of God's provision, a blessing of God's provision that he's given
the Lord
to
opened a door for me.
Not only that, you think about what church you've been
through
made
an
a part of
prayer. We ended
think
up
about
getting
that. Your pastor
saved
points
last
you to the authority
service
of the Word of God.
This man right
not
here,
to him.
I'd been praying
he points
that
you
Lord
to the authority of the Word of God,
to
not your
emotions. Get saved during that service.
You know what? That's how most religions work
nowadays.
Saved. Christian
I
denominations,
tried to get
that's
back
how they
Brazil
work
a couple times.
And
there,
you know what? That's
Lord
a blessing to get that.
Kind of shutting the door on me there.
I read this lady,
with
her account, she was a designer.
And I didn't know why
her name was Joyce Simpson. She was a designer in Atlanta.
Later,
and she had a profession that she had gotten saved. It was a real weak, watery profession. I don't put much stock in it at all.
So
but she said
she
had gotten saved, and she joined a church there in Atlanta, and she had a problem. She says, well, I want to do more for God. I want to serve God more. But I just don't know what he wants me to do. And I just was looking for God to show me what he wants me to do. And she said in her testimony, she said, one day I found out exactly what God wanted me to do. I was driving down the road in Atlanta. I was driving down the highway. And I looked up and I saw a billboard. And in that billboard, I saw the face of Christ.
And so that was a great blessing.
Describe what it was. It was
also what the Lord did for me is spaghetti commercial on the billboard. I needed.
And she said the spaghetti was drooping down, and then she just saw that was a blessing to me.
We got married in 2008,
and she knew she was to quit her career and go be a professional singer to whatever the Lord would have us to do
in the church.
We got to do some ministry with my dad, travel around the country doing some prison work.
Driving down the road,
we got to do some of our own ministry, doing nursing homes, right?
Our own jail ministries, and junior church.
Right from the Word of God.
Basically, the Lord opened up to us to do.
We would go through and do whatever he had us to do.
Somebody put your confidence in that.
So that continued on.
Our burden for Brazil was still there.
Another thing the Lord did for me was
that's what we're talking about.
The provision
was
how
God
provided very well for you.
And he would do that while he preached.
Now, not only that, he did some protecting.
If you look back to Isaiah,
and verse 2,
I didn't like
it says, and he fenced it.
Much less.
He fenced it. You know what God did in that protecting is he protected you from some things. He put a hedge about you. He protected you and fenced you.
Why?
You know what teenagers don't like that.
Once I started teens to try don't to like do some chalk talks
that wall
like
of
that.
Protection. They don't. They want to get rid of that as soon as they can, so they can go do and be whatever they want
to
be. They don't realize that's for their own good.
Some things that he
but
wanted
But you know what? That protection
that
also works for the adult.
And
that protection also works for the grown up. Trying to get rid of God's walls of protection, his fences. You know what? God separated you. He separated you for a purpose.
Traveling up and down the streets,
back in 1891, I don't know how well this goes on, but Dr. James Naismith,
a bunch of people come out to
in December of 1891, he was a regular doctor, but he was also a worker at the YMCA. And he did something kind of revolutionary.
Saved,
in fact, you guys did some of this
and
afternoon.
Paulo and Gabriel,
but
those
what
were two
he ended up doing
sons,
was
saved.
He started noticing that all his boys during the wintertime, they would just kind of really get in some bad trouble during the wintertime.
And then the last
and he realized
night,
they were really getting in trouble, not because they were necessarily bad kids, but they just didn't really have much to do.
And so
they
was
were always getting
see,
in trouble, and he couldn't really figure out something for him to do, so he invented a new sport.
We also got to
and
do
that
some
sport,
street work.
What he did is he got some guys, he told
out.
The janitor, go get you
to see the people's tender heart,
you know, a basket of orange
stop
crate
and talk to you.
Over
they
in the kitchen,
to
and we want to bring it over here to the auditorium.
Their auditorium was a little bit above 10 foot high.
And he nailed these crates up on the wall, put them up about 10 foot high, and
he
came back.
The
janitor couldn't get any
orange crates.
We got to deal
with people on the street, do some preaching, and hold up scripture banners.
And so they set these baskets up on the rail there.
This young man here, his name was Umberto.
There were 13 different rules.
He came across the street,
and he ended up coming up with a game called basketball.
We ended up getting saved that
day. He used a soccer ball to run up.
So
down
got to see another
with.
Lady, Sandra,
and the game of basketball
well,
was invented.
That same
this
day
guy
out,
claimed to invent it
there in
because
the
he was trying to keep the kids out
so
of trouble.
That was a blessing to get
to keep
see.
Them off the street, to keep
but
them away
the
from
with
the
that
things
is that
they
only
shouldn't be given
into at their
age.
Saw.
And you know what? That's
like
a good
the Lord
thing.
Said, the harvest
it
truly
separated
is plenteous,
them from some activities
the
they shouldn't
are
be doing.
Pray therefore,
you know what? Sometimes
it's
one of the good things to get your kids. Doing some sports and doing some things to keep them out of trouble.
The Bible says God is not willing that any should
perish. You can also make that
all
sport
come
a trouble itself. You can make
this
that
is what
sport
we don't
God
like
God
to see.
Your kid.
And
that can also be
here
a trouble.
Jeremiah says the
we're
harvest
talking about
is past,
some separation.
The summer is ended.
He fenced
and we are
it
not
there.
Saved.
Not only did he fence it,
that's
he also sanctified
there.
It.
When the
he
Lord
gathered out
back,
the stones thereof. You know what
was
happened?
Our job to reach.
Is we're here in
all
this
of
age.
You guys can't go down to Brazil.
In this age, in this church,
you
know what? We have a lot of the stones.
The Lord's called us.
A lot of the hard theology, a lot of the difficult passage that you find in the Word of God. You know what? Somebody's gone through.
We need laborers down
those places. Somebody's
over 184 million
and gathered out the
Brazilians
stones
are if they're following what their
aren't you
religion
glad
teaches
you know
them
about eternal
that
security?
Are dying and going to hell.
Aren't you glad that you can lay your head on your pillow tonight knowing
really
that
comprehend.
You have your confidence
and
not
I try
in
to
what
give
a man
you an explanation
says,
to help you
not in what a preacher says, but in what the Word of God
if you were to
says.
Take a handful of
you
sand
know you can have eternal life because
all
you
the
believe
grains
on
of sand and one handful of
you know what? That's a blessing.
That
for generations and generations, many
count
a whole handful of
their salvation.
They always thought, well, I got saved by grace through faith,
but I
got to
keep it. to even come close to 184 million.
That's a stone somebody gathered up out of your life
and gave
you
the right doctrine through
the
Word of God.
The harvest is plenty.
Thank God for that. That protection.
The labors are
few. Now you can go out and do more for
Christ. And so we ask you guys to pray for us.
Now not only did he sanctify and gather those stones out, but he supported it.
It says there in the passage in Isaiah, verse 2,
obviously learn the language. We
want to meet
them where
they're at.
We want to learn their culture.
Planted it with the choices
wise.
Do you thank God that you ended up in a Bible believing church?
Not have them stand off
from us. That you can be around Bible believing brethren that will encourage you to grow for Christ.
We want
to encourage you to get more like the world.
Right now, the Brazilian heart is soft.
That's a protection.
Right now, they're still open to the gospel.
Thank God for that.
You've seen it through probably your
own lifetime. Now, not only the providing, the protecting, but also the producing. Look back to Isaiah chapter 5.
We'd like to reach them while we can.
Isaiah chapter 5.
Train national ministers with that.
And
the best
down
people
there in
I
verse,
know, I say all the time, the best people to reach Brazilians is Brazilians.
2, the end of the verse,
the very
he
best
says
ones.
At the,
the
end, he says, and he looked
here in this town
that it should bring forth grace.
And so we'd like to train our own people,
wild
train
grace.
The Brazilians to go out and reach
you know
their
what
own.
Happens
and
one day?
Happens to us, they kick us out of the country.
One day, somebody's going to come by your vineyard, and they're going to check your vineyard out, and he's going
to
check your vineyard out to see what kind of fruit you're bearing.
And then finally,
you know
establish
most
local
Christians
churches.
Worry about.
You
most
guys
Christians
have something
worry
special
about
here.
What are the
whether
brethren
you, whether
think?
You know it or not? Whether
what
does
the brethren
not,
think?
I'll
how
talk
spiritual
about it a little bit
I
later
am
here, but
what do they
a
think about my Christian life?
Life?
And you know what? When it comes down to
nice
it, it doesn't matter.
We
live
as comfortably
as we can here.
It does not matter.
Fear of persecution.
You know what matters?
Without any type of worry at all,
inspect your
is a blessing.
And you know
Christ.
We have
he's
that liberty
one
to do it in this
country. Really try to impress.
And we get blessed from
not
it. I got saved in a
you
local
know what
church.
Happens
I met
is,
my wife in a local church.
The Bible tells you
I
comparing
right
themselves
church,
among themselves.
It
has
benefited
wise.
Me greatly.
One
to
of
have
the most foolish things you can do
access.
Is start looking
and
at each
like
other here in this church building and saying, "Well,
I
don't do what so and so does. They're not here such and such time. At least I'm here more than they are. I carry my Bible and I witness a little more than them, and I do this a little better than they do."
So we ask
you,
you guys again
you,
to pray for us.
Wise.
We are the Huggins.
You're
and
acting
we do
just
thank
as foolish as a drunk guy
for
stumbling down
us
the
in.
Street.
What?
Because you're comparing yourselves among yourselves. It's not wise. You know who you compare yourself to as a Christian? The Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on him. He's the only one that's going to come by and
ready
inspect
whenever.
Your vineyard. He's the one that's going to come by and look into your mm-hmm. vineyard and check out and see
anybody
what you've been
questions?
Doing. You know what happens when you start comparing yourselves among yourselves? You start feeling discouraged because you know what you do? You say, well, I can't do what brother or sister so-and-so can do. I can't cook a meal like them. I can't sew like them. I can't do this and that like they can. And you know what you do? Instead of doing what you can do, you know what you do? Absolutely nothing because you can't do what so-and-so does. You can't do what Mr. So-and-so or brother or sister so-and-so does. So you do nothing. Because you're comparing yourselves among yourselves. Instead of saying, God, what did you give me to do? Show me what to do and I'll do it. That's what God wants from you. He doesn't want what somebody else can do. He wants what you can do. If all you can do is pass out a track a day, that's all you can do. Thank God for it and do it. Don't stop saying, well, I don't get to preach in front of an auditorium of 1,000 people. You got an audience of one getting a gospel track out. Do what you can do. Stop worrying about what you're not able to do. There was a man, his name was Bob Wiseland. Bob Wiseland was one of those unique characters of history where Bob Wiseland was a great athlete. He went off and fought in the Vietnam War, and he came back from that Vietnam War broken and battered and wounded. And you know, it really didn't discourage and stop his spirit of fight inside of him. And Bob Wiseland, even after the war, he came in and he entered into all kinds of races and everything. And he ended up getting in a triathlon and all these kind of things. And Bob Wiseland, everybody was just amazed at Bob Wiseland's just desire not to give up. And to any other athlete, it wouldn't be a big deal. But the unique thing about Bob Wiseland was Bob Wiseland in Vietnam got wounded so bad that he landed on a mine and it blew off both the bottom parts of his legs. But yet he still did a triathlon. He still ran a marathon. He still did the Ironman competitions. And you say, how in the world did he do that? How in the world did he do a marathon with no legs? Well, he walked on his hands. Walked on his hands. Ran on his hands. You know what Bob Wiseland did? He didn't look at what he didn't have. He didn't say, well, I don't got any legs anymore. I can't run any race. You know what he says? I still got my hands. I can still do something. I can still keep in the race. You know what your problem is, Christian? Is you're looking at what you don't have. You're looking at maybe what God has possibly taken from you and saying, God, I'm not going to serve you now because you've taken this. Instead of looking at what's gone, look at what God's given you. Look at what you have to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with. And you know what? It'll be to his glory. You know what? You know what? God gets more glory out of you, not when things are going perfect, not when things are going smoothly, not when things are, you know, going great so much, and then you're standing up there and you're saying, well, praise the Lord and thank God and all that. You know what? That glorifies him somewhat. But you know where God gets the most glory from? Is when things are kind of falling to pieces, when things are kind of getting worn out in your life, where things are just really not going the way you've planned, and you know what? It's really not the way you wanted your life to be. And you know what happens when God gets the most glory? Is when you raise your hand up to heaven and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That gives him more glory than all the riches he dumps on you and the blessings and says, okay, it's easy to praise God and his blessings. Now, how about praising God in the wine press? You notice in that passage there in Isaiah, you know what God put in that vineyard? He put a wine press. What do you do with a wine press? What do you do when you get a wine press? Well, you take the very best grapes you have, the very best of your vineyard, and you put it in that wine press, and you start to squeeze on them and get to see all the good stuff comes out for the master of the vineyard. That's what the wine press is for. And you know what? Sometimes God puts you in the wine press not to punish you, but so he gets more glory out of you than he would any other way. And you know what? That's what the Lord does. That's the producing of this vineyard. You know what he wants to see? He wants to see good grapes. But you know what he saw in this vineyard of Israel? You know what he saw? It didn't bring forth good grapes. You know what it brought forth? It brought forth wild grapes. It brought forth wild grapes. And then you look at the passage. Look over to Isaiah 5 again and see what happens. When God sees what the wild grapes that comes forth from this vineyard, what does he do? Not just the producing, but it's the pondering of this vineyard. Look in verse 4 there. What does the Lord say? What could have been done more to my vineyard? You know what the Lord does? The Lord comes by there and he looks at all these provision. He looks at all this protection, and then he looks and sees what you've produced. And what does he say? What could I have done more for you? Could I have given you a better life? Could I have given you a better salvation? Could I have given you better health? Could I have given you a better church? What more could he have done? Think about that, Christian. What more could Jesus Christ have done for you than he's not already done already to get you to serve him and bring forth good fruit? If you're honest, like I would with myself, I'd say, Lord, you know what? There's nothing better you could have done in my life to get me to produce good fruit. It's my own rebellion. Nothing he did. So you know what happens is the pondering of that vineyard. He wonders what more could be done. What more could be done in that vineyard? So after he gets done with that, after the pondering of the vineyard, what takes place is but the punishing of this vineyard. What happens is the punishing of that vineyard. To see that, it's a unique thing. You look there in verse chapter 5. Look down there in verse 5. You notice the punishing of this vineyard is a very unique type of punishment. It's the worst kind of punishment I believe a Christian could ever get. You know what happens is God just simply takes his hand off of this people here. He says in verse 5, and now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and will break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command that the clouds, that they rain no rain upon it. You know what the worst thing the Lord does? The worst thing the Lord does is just simply take his hand off of your life. You know what you should be afraid of? It is not necessarily the punishment of God, but God just stopped dealing with you entirely. God just removing that hedge out of your life and saying, okay, you want to enjoy the world? Then I'm just going to let you go at it. I'm going to let you get into the world. You want to have fun. If you want to let grow whatever you want in your life, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let those briars and thorns grow up in your life. And you'll be pulling them out the rest of your life. You know what the Lord's doing? He's saying, I'm protecting you for your own good. I'm keeping you out of trouble for your own good. If you desire to get in the trouble, you know what he'll do? He'll take his hands off and let you get in it. That's the worst thing he can do for you, is let you have your way 100%. And you know what? That's what he does. And the worst part of it is that passage there, it says in verse 6, you know what happens? After he pulls out that negative, he doesn't prune it anymore. He lets those thorns and briars come up. You know what? He commands the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. You know what happens in this vineyard is when it comes time and the rain comes by and everything in the clouds form and everything like that, you know what he does? He commands that that rain doesn't come. He commands that it rain no rain upon it. You know what ends up happening is that vineyard can be surrounded by the clouds and yet not a drop of water falls on it. What is a type of water in your Bible? What's a type of the Word of God? And what happens is so many Christians, you know what happens? They'll come to church and they'll kind of get tired of the preaching. They'll kind of get worn out with the preaching. And you say, why is that? Because the preacher is just not exciting. He's just not entertaining enough. No, because God sent those rain clouds over and he says, stop raining on them. Because they wanted to get out in the world. They wanted to break down those walls and let the thorns and briars come in. You know what? Why don't you enjoy Bible preaching? It's not the preacher's fault. It's your fault. That's whose fault it is. So you know what? That's the worst judgment God can do, is just take his hands off and not let the rain come down upon you. That's the punishing of the vineyard. But you know what? That's not what God intends. You know what God intended the whole time? You know what God wanted the whole time? You know what he wanted to see? Is that good fruit come forth? You know, especially you young people here, you know, you've been given a great opportunity. Every single one of these older people will line up and tell you, don't get into the world. It's never worth it. The Bible tells you, be sure your sin will find you out. It's not worth it. They're dealing with things nowadays that they wish they'd never done when they were your age. And so you know what the warning is, the admonition is the Lord's given you a great opportunity. Lord's given us all a great opportunity. He's asking, like it says there in verse 4, what more could have been done in my vineyard? What more could he do to get your life to live for him? That's what I ask you here, in and out here today in this message. Is there something more God can do for you to get you on track for him? Is there something more God can do for you to have you to serve him? If you're honest with yourself, there's nothing. He's given you everything you need to serve him. Now the question is, are you bringing forth good fruit? Are you bringing forth wild grapes? That's the question. All right, let's pray. Lord, again, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercies. Lord, thank God that you renew them every morning. Thank you that you give us a chance, that you don't pile up our iniquities, that you give us an opportunity to be washed and cleansed in your blood, that you renew those mercies every day. Lord, I pray you'd help us to take advantage of those mercies. Lord, I pray that especially for these young people here today, Lord, that they would understand the seriousness that you've allowed them to enter into this life and have all the benefits and blessings that you've given to them. Lord, help them not to take it for granted. Help them to realize all the good things they have. Lord, help us all, us older folks, to do something for you. Help us to bring forth good grapes while we have the time, Lord. And we do pray that you'd hasten that day. You'd send your son back to come and get us. And Lord, we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.